What I created here is what I call Gan Eden, which is the original Garden of Eden. And Gan Eden means Hebrew for Gan Eden, Garden of Eden, of course. And this all started about 4 years ago when we came to this property. And it was just a typical suburban garden with lawns and half-dead trees and neglected flower beds and neglected vegetable plots and things. And a passion of mine, as always, is to transform it and create like an oasis, especially here in the middle of the desert. So that was my aim.
Well, what have you tried to create here? I can see a lot of kind of tropical looking plants and also a lot of cacti.
Yeah, the whole idea, I've been a horticulturist myself, a part of the planning into all this, do all the research, look at the local climate, the soils and all that, and try to create, first of all, the structure for the garden first, which is to create a microclimate, putting lots of trees and hedges and things in and stuff like that, and just trying to work with all that, and then look at the kind of plants that were going to work here in the gold fields. As you mentioned, tropical style with palms and large leaf plants, and then succulents and cacti, which obviously do thrive here, without any formal irrigation apart from hand watering, really.
How much work has it been?
In the initial days, it was a heck of a lot of work. It really was. I do remember all the hard work as you would get in the beginning, kind of like a makeover kind of thing, getting stuck in, working most of the weekends and things, just clearing stuff, with about 8 or 9 trips to the tip. Previous owners had left all sorts of junk buried in the ground. We found corrugated fencing panels. We found bits of old dead fish. It was weird. We found all kinds of... We even found a wax swan once, which was given to a friend. Found out that she'd written a boot of a cow on a hot day, and there was an enormous pool of wax in the boot.
I bet she was grateful for that gift then.
Well, I won't repeat what she said, but it was certainly a lot of bleeps.
And how much water do you use?
Well, the whole idea with a garden like this is to establish itself, really. Obviously, in the early days, the hard work included putting many tons of compost and soil improver into the ground. And also, another thing I find is, which works very well in tropical style gardens, is densely planting, closely planting, you know, in other words, planting particular plants close together as you would get in a rainforest effect. They all help each other to maintain humidity and moisture. So therefore, overall, for example, in this garden, I've only got a basic retic system down, and the rest of it's just hand watering, really, on the hottest days and the evenings.
Right, well, the block goes right back. Shall we go down and have a bit of a
yes,
look around?
Sure.
What would you like to show me?
Basically, this section on this side is kind of a mixture of palms and unusual succulents. The theme of African still continues in a way, while you've got this plant here, which is called a Cassonia, which the leaves look quite kind of like a pawpaw tree, if you've ever seen one, which have got those enormous, finely divided leaves, and eventually that will create like a canopy of shade, which will help the smaller plants underneath, which are some of these aloes and cordylines. Now, cordylines generally do quite well here if they're put in the right position. Coming from New Zealand, they're not really used to this heat we have and this intense light we get, so they generally prefer a little bit of afternoon shade. And apart from that, as long as the water's kept up to them and the mulch heavily, then they do quite well here.
Well, I've just noticed on top of your shed is an enormous climbing rose. Is that planned or...?
No, that climbing rose is original. I guess it must be over 20 years old, I think, that climbing rose, because I do believe the carport that which it sits on was built in 1984. And the actual main stem of that rose is like a tree trunk around the other side where it's growing from. And sometimes I get up there and do that task of pruning it, but as you can see, it's fully in flower. And it flowers through the winter as well. And the same with the bougainvillea just over the other side there, never stopped flowering. And they're both on this property. But that acts as a bit of a windscreen as well, as a bit of protection from any of the winds coming through. Unfortunately, the banana plants up there are not protected from.
Are you actually getting bananas?
I'll show you if you
yes.
Come through.
I think the best way of getting access. Fresh bananas in Kalgoorlie, I can see them.
Amazing, isn't it? And I've basically left them on there just to naturally ripen. One of the stems of the bananas flowered about 7 or 8 months ago, and I prematurely cut these bananas off, and they were not ripened at all. And as you can see, it's like a little plantation of them now. And how the banana works is that they grow enormous like this. They're about, must be about 4 or 5 meters high. And the main parent stem produces this flower, which comes out and hangs down, which is what this, you see that enormous kind of thing at the back there, like a purple thing hanging down, acts as a weight. It's remarkable in nature how this thing works. And this is what holds the fruit down. Otherwise, the fruit will probably prong back up in the air and stay high up, so that you can't eat it. You can't actually snap them off. So it's got like its own purpose-built weight built in. But the sad thing about the bananas is that after they flower and fruit, unfortunately, that stem dies off. But they are replaced by smaller stems, which are shooting up like there, and they replace the main stem. And that's how the bananas work. They just keep going. It's like what we call a giant herbaceous perennial.
So eventually, if you don't stop it, the whole garden will be taken over by the banana plant?
I would actually like that to happen, to be honest. No, I think, I love these things. I think they are an element of what tropical gardens are about. When you go to places like Singapore and Hawaii and places like this, and where are truly tropical, there's always banana plants around in gardens. But there are many species of bananas that can grow in different climates of the world. And like here, there's this particular one, which is an unnamed one, because this was here originally as well before we moved in. Obviously likes the heat here, and the soil is pretty good. The Goldfield soil is actually pretty good for growing, for gardening really. Having worked with the Perth sand for several years down there, and having to add lots and lots of organic matter, it was a constant battle for plants to really flourish in Perth. But in the Goldfields, we have such better soils that once they are wet, they stay wet much easier.
What's the satisfaction that you get from having a garden like this?
The satisfaction I get is to see everything flourishing, and also being a haven for wildlife, the amount of birds and other animals that come in the garden is amazing.
I can see butterflies everywhere.
Yeah, they're butterflies. They've had some of the coloured ones too that have come in. I guess the only downside of that is watching out for the pesky caterpillars. But apart from that, I think it's because they probably see it as a haven as well. And as I said, it's not quite finished. It's still work going on. But one day we aim to get some benches put down and just go and hide somewhere and enjoy the greenery. Yeah.